From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of March 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Ed Ossett will join us from the St. Paul campus of the University of Minnesota, where he's been thinking about the stocks-to-use ratio in years that have been similar to this one and what's happened to the price of corn. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Greg Johnson from the Andersons right here in Champaign County, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn at $5.47.5. They settled 8 cents lower for the day. May at $5.38.25, down 9.25, and December 2 cents lower. $4.68.75 the settlement price there. The March soybeans at $13.92.5, down 12.75. May 13 lower at $13.91.25. November down 3.75 at $12.19.25. Bean meal $3 lower at $420.20. The bean oil at $50.77, down 57 cents, and soft red winter wheat 11.25 cents lower at $6.43.75. The hard red at $6.14.25. Then the March down 10.5 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $118.97.5, $1.02.5 lower. Feeder cattle at $137.20, down $1.47.5. And lean hogs at $87.72.5. 57.5 cents lower for the afternoon. Crude oil at $60.67 a barrel, down 83 cents. The heating oil or diesel fuel 2.4 cents lower at $1.81.8. And the wholesale price of gasoline at $1.94.1. That's about 0.09 cents lower for the afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the trade in Chicago and what you think it means.
Well, the higher Mondays have come to a complete stop here. We saw red instead of green. We were staying in there quite well through this whole ordeal, so lower close. The lower close is a little concerning technically. Particularly, we closed below last week's lows. Overnight, there was some urgency to get some ownership on, but as we moved into the day session here, that urgency moved out of the way. Seems like Sunday nights, though, oftentimes the trade plays keep away. It'll open higher and stay firm, make everybody chase it to the upside, or else it'll open lower and keep grinding lower, making everybody chase it to the downside on the sell signal. So I think Sunday night's theme is keep away for the most part of what we've been seeing take place. But when you look at the corn chart, it's kind of a little bit concerning here, maybe carving out a little bit of a head and shoulders top formation. We are due to correct here. Oftentimes, Februarys have lows, but it appears a February high might be temporary in place. On the bean side, basically same type of situation from last week. We had that reversal down last Thursday. We were able to rally up out of the hole there Friday, but if we start moving below last week's lows here, the technicians could maybe say we got a little bit of a double top in the charts. But when you look at the daily chart pattern, it's virtually sideways. I think the trade is going to be volatile up, volatile down until we get into the mid part of March, not only get past the March 9th crop report or get a little closer to the acreage and stocks report, but to get a handle on weather. Right now, the U.S. weather patterns is a little bit wet in the south, a little bit behind on some planting progress in the deep south. So we'll see how that unfolds here. Also, for the month of February, the crop insurance, I believe the average spring price for corn is going to be right around this $4.58, and the average price for beans is going to be about $11.87 there. So I've got that spring number to work with. Crop insurance people are going to be quite busy here to get everybody informed and get them on the right program they want to be with. We also saw a pickup in, well, actually it's quite active, Todd, on some pricing, actual physical sales and some hedging here, and that was due to some of these hybrid cash rent contracts where portion of the proceeds from the producer to the landlord is based on the spring price. And with these high prices in here, there was quite a bit of activity kind of to defend that in case the market seeps lower here, or quite a bit lower here. That could mean a little bit of more risk on the table there. So that's a little different spin I've seen here over the years, where there's been a little bit more money management, risk management take place. The other things basically fundamentally really haven't changed a whole lot. Argentina continues to be a little bit on the dry side. Harvest activities grinding away in Brazil. Seems like the trade's got this kind of a tone to it that I want to see actual confirmation of crop damage or lower production number out of the southern hemisphere. Some of the private analysts aren't lowering the Brazilian crop a whole lot. The Argentine crop is still out to be debated. So probably need another week or two here to see what type of production we see out of the southern hemisphere. And the only other negative thing we're kind of seeing take place here is that there's more and more talk of this African swine fever picking up in China. And if that would happen, that would be a feed demand concern, and that would be a potential export business down the road. But that did lend a helping hand to pork prices today, as the futures held in there fairly well here going into the close.
So one of the things I'm sure people will be watching is the USDA WASDE coming up, not only for this month, but once we get to May, but to try to get an idea, because May's new crop, but to try to get an idea of what USDA is really thinking about the end of this year as it relates to consumption, and to roll that into next year. I know they had an awfully big set of numbers out of the Ag Outlook form for the 21-22 marketing year. How closely do producers need to keep track of this?
Well, there's a lot of moving parts. It's when you have big production and big demand, the percentage to those areas could be small, but it can move the bottom line quite a bit. Probably the thing is that the demand base, just need to see confirmation as a producer as we get into this late spring, early summer. That's traditionally when the Chinese starts booking the new crop production. So that's going to be a window to watch. And if that fails to happen, there could be concern maybe this future demand might not be there. But when you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, the key is the yield. What type of yield are you going to put on it? Because when you come in at the 90-some million acres plus, and you had yield go up 1-2 bushels in beans, or 5-10 bushels up and down in corn, that's going to affect the bottom line a whole lot. The bean number, particularly if you lower that yield 1-2 bushels, you're looking at a negative carryout, which won't happen. That means prices have to stay higher here to ration supplies or slow demand down.
Hey, thank you so much, Kurt.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You can find and listen to it on demand anytime you'd like. Where? On our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We're now joined by Ed Usett, Grain Marketing Specialist for University of Minnesota, an extension there. Thanks, Ed, for being with us. Last month, when we talked, you had been doing some work about corn market in particular, soybeans too, where there were years with big inverses, and we talked about really kind of the drop in most years in price from the January at that point until the harvest month. I take it you've been doing some follow-up to see what that looks like in particular in a different category, years where there has been a short supply or the ending stocks weren't as large as most would like, and I'm wondering what you have found.
Okay, well, I like to call this sort of a similar years analysis. You find years that share similar fundamentals, you know, and the only rule here is that the fundamental has to be something meaningful, okay? Not the seasonal appearance of the cicadas or something like that, or whether the National League won the World Series. It has to be a fundamental, something that makes sense. And earlier I'd looked at years with big inverses, and we have huge inverses in corn and soybeans. They're still big, Todd. Although I noticed over the last 3-4 weeks, what has happened is in corn and soybeans, both the nearby March contracts are stuck in neutral at high levels, but they aren't going any higher. They're just sort of at these high levels, whereas the new crop contracts have continued to go higher. But it's still a big inverse. But now I turn my attention. People are all wound up on the tight carryout and looking at ending stocks to use. So I went ahead and I said, okay, I just went back 1980 forward, and I pulled out years looking at the February WASDE report, the most recent report we have, looking at years when USDA was projecting a very tight carryout at the end of the crop year. And I got 9 years there. What would the most recent example be? 2013. I'll just give you the numbers. In 2013, in the February WASDE report, USDA was projecting less than 3 weeks usage remaining and ending stocks at the end of the year. It's really tight. I don't know if I've looked at the long-term average recently, but I'm sure it's something closer to 10, 11, 12 weeks. This year, we're projected to have like a little over five weeks usage, which is pretty tight. Probably, I want to say, the 10th tightest in 40 years. Okay. Well, those 9 years that I found prior to this year with a tight carryout as of that Fed report, he did the 9 years, traded lower from spring to fall, from planting to harvest, 8 of the 9 years. The one exceptional year, it's always going to be an exception, Todd, when we have a drought. 2012 was a drought year. And despite the pattern I'm noting here, 8 of 9 years went lower. If we have a drought in 2021, we'll go higher. That's the way it works. It's fun to look at these numbers. Something else I found interesting is that the projections in these 9 years with a tight carryout projected in February, by the time we got to the end of the actual numbers at the end of the year, the carryout was not quite that tight. It loosened up a bit in all but 1 year. I find that interesting too, that the market adjusts. It tells you something about the way the market adjusts. I have not explored, I can't tell you that what happened here is demand fell off in these years or supply grew in these years. It's probably some mix and match of both in all of them.
Well, given all of that, what are you telling producers in Minnesota about the crop insurance decision and or making new crop sales?
Well, first of all, it's wonderful. The crop insurance levels are very high. That's a great thing to start with. And you got to have crop insurance. You got to have that. And then I'm telling producers, I'm just noting this tendency for the market to go lower if we can assume a normal year. If we can assume some sort of a non-drought year, just a normal year in the Corn Belt, we're going to go lower by harvest. So I'm telling people to sit up and pay attention. The analysis I have, even as strong as it is, doesn't necessarily say go out and do it today. There are years in this work where it paid to be early, January, February, March. But there are just as many years, if not a couple more, where waiting until May, June, maybe even early July might be even better. So sit up, have an idea, have a sense that, I want to get something done here in the next few months and look for your opportunity.
You know, Daryl Good told me over the decades, and I recall this every year, that it's normal until it's not. So act as if it's normal until it is no longer normal. So
yeah,
working under that assumption going forward, I suppose. You and Matt Bennett, who is our regular Thursday afternoon analyst, have had a habit of being on the Commodity Classics over the last several years for an early riser session, usually, I think, on Thursday mornings, frankly, maybe on Friday mornings. And you're going to do that again this year, though it's virtual this year, so everybody can join. I imagine you're kind of looking forward to that.
Yes, and we are on again. We're on Thursday morning, March 4th, the early riser session. And we're going to talk about some of these opportunities in 2021. I will talk for about 20 minutes. This is at 7 a.m. on Central Time on Thursday morning. I'll do about 20 minutes. Matt will do about 20 minutes. And then we're going to hang around and do 20 minutes of taking questions and answers. Or at least trying to provide an answer.
Yeah, so those who want to get registered for that can do it at commodityclassic.com. You're registered for the whole event. And then later that morning, and I'll remind folks of this now as well, you can join me, although I'll be there just as the moderator. Gary Schnittke and company will be talking about the crop insurance decisions and what he thinks about crop insurance and ECO. Good for Illinois for sure, and a large part of the Midwest as well. He'll detail all of that Thursday at 11 o'clock. Central Time. You can find a way to register for that at willag.org, willag.org. Ed, thank you. And I look forward to our discussion again next month.
Todd, thank you.
Ed Usset is an agricultural economist on the St. Paul campus of the University of Minnesota. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo is not available to talk to us about the weather forecast for the day, but I'll take you through some of what we see across the Midwest and other growing regions across the planet. In Des Moines, Iowa this week, the highs should be in the 50s for most of the week, except for today, just a high of 36 degrees. The lows mostly in the upper 20s to low 30s and sunshine throughout the week. Same thing here in the state of Illinois. Highs in the low 50s by Thursday and Wednesday, maybe upper 50s to 60 degrees even. Lows around that 30 degree. Lincoln, Nebraska, they're a bit warmer. 48, 62, 65, 60, 70 on Saturday there. The lows around 29 to 37 degrees for the week. Minneapolis is the cold spot. 22 degrees today, but 40 degrees for the next 3 or 4 days. And by the weekend on Sunday and Monday, 51 to 52 degrees. So that's what it looks like across the Midwest. And then if you turn your attention to some of the growing regions in South America, Mato Grosso, we see a high of around 80 degrees all week long, low just 10 degrees below that. They have a chance for rainfall every day of this week, and they're in the middle of harvest, so maybe not the best of conditions for them there. In Goiás, Brazil, 79 to 80 degrees all week, although they get to 90 by the time they get to Saturday. Their low is a bit lower than that, 66 degrees for the most part throughout the week. Again, partly sunny with chances of rainfall for most of the week. Tocantins, which is in the northwestern part of Brazil, still a soybean state, though on the edge of that, 84 throughout the week, 90 by the time we get to Friday. The low's around 70 degrees. Further to the south, in Rosario, Argentina, much warmer, 94 today, 95 Wednesday, 97 on Sunday, 99 next Monday. However, there's a big spread to the bottom end of that. The lows around 70 degrees for the entire period. Cordoba, just as warm, sunshine, a little rainfall there, depending on which part of the week you're in. 68 for the low tonight, and tomorrow 71, that is. And then 66 by the time we get to the end of the week for them. So that's a quick look at some of the growing regions around the planet and the weather forecast here in the United States. Let's check in now with Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons and is here to discuss the agricultural cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about what's been happening in the marketplace for the last week or so.
Well, I think we've kind of peaked out here temporarily. I mean, there's until we get to the March 9th supply and demand report, and then more importantly, the March 31st acreage report and quarterly stocks report. But we've just kind of had a lack of news. Last week, we expected maybe some more export sales announcements to come out of Washington, but because China was done with their Lunar New Year celebration and back to work last week. But we really didn't see a lot of announcements last week. And so I think the trade was getting a little antsy, a little disappointed. And so we saw, even though we made new contract highs as late as Thursday and Friday last week, the new crop or the old crop sold off a little bit and follow through selling today. So it feels worse than what it really is. If you look at a chart, we're still a whole lot closer to the top than the bottom, but it just feels like maybe we're a little tired and waiting for some more news before we can think about making new highs again.
Yeah, I was taking a look at the weekly changes on Friday or Saturday last week. I think I tweeted this out too, but because the last couple of days felt awfully disappointing, but I think beans were up, what, 23 cents and corn was up a dime or 12 cents or something like that. Actually, I know what it was. It was 26 and 10 because it was the 2.6 to 2.6 ratio favoring soybeans on the soy corn ratio. So,
yeah, but you're right. It felt worse because it was down on Friday and then again today, I guess. But really, from a weekly point of view, you're exactly right. We still are maintaining, you know, and if not gaining, adding to where we were. So it feels worse than what it really is. I mean, these are still very, very good prices.
Yeah, now farmers have good prices, too, for their crop insurance, for new crop. Do many farmers decide to cover the 15 or 20% that's not covered by crop insurance by making cash forward sales, do you think?
They haven't in the past, but we're certainly encouraging that this year. I mean, you know, at these prices, yes, you're covered, you know, starting at 85%, but why give up, you know, that first 15% when you can lock in pretty profitable levels by selling? So, you know, I think this is a good opportunity for farmers to lock some stuff in. I've said all along, if you're not selling corn at 475 December futures, you're basically betting on a drought this summer, and that very well could happen. But number one, the odds aren't in your favor because more often than not, we do get rain in the summer. And number two, even if it is a drought year, we won't know that till July. So we're going to have to hold out for another 4 or 5 months before we really know the answer to that question.
Anything on the soybeans?
The soybeans are a lot tighter than the corn. We need to buy 8 million more acres versus corn. We only really need 1 or 2 million more acres. So I think there's a couple more hurdles to get over on the beans than there is the corn. I think the situation is just a little bit tighter. And so I think there's still, if I had to bet on one making new contract highs sooner rather than later, I would go with the beans.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson with the Andersons. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.